Amen? Amen. Praise God. So good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Turn to somebody and just say, so good to see you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was at a gathering yesterday, and it's amazing to see how people who don't serve God, how they party. And they get down, too. Because the music feels good, and they're around friends and family, and I can understand certain parts of it. But when it's time for them to let go, they let go. I wonder, what would happen if the people of God, if we just let go sometime? What would happen if we would just run and shout and scream and jump off of stuff? In Jesus' name, don't hurt yourself. But there's something about when we just forget about what's going on in our lives and we just begin to give God some praise in His place. Amen? It makes a difference. It makes a difference. Now, I do know from experience, some people are thinking, now, I hope Brother Bell's not going to ask us to do some stuff. But we're not going to do that right now. Praise God. Let's turn in our Bibles to... First, let's go to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. So good to see everybody. So good to see Pastor Meeks is walking better and better. And praise God. If you ever been through surgery before, you know that you're just waiting for that time when you can be back to normal again. Yeah. Yes, whatever normal is. Psalms 103, and it's up there. Let's try to read this together. Well, let's try it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Verse 2. The Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Unto verse 8. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Everybody said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. One more, Psalms 100. Some of y'all can quote this. I'll wait for him to. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and enter into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endure to all generation. How many is thankful in this place this morning or this afternoon? How many of you are truly thankful for what God has done in your life and what God wants to do in your life? We have so much to give the Lord thanks for, don't we? Hallelujah. Before you're seated, just clap your hands unto the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Praise God. And with this thought in mind, I want to talk to you with just two words. Be thankful. Be thankful. It's kind of easier to say than to do sometimes, but we need to be thankful. The scripture tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, and I want to take my time so they can put that up there. It says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now, when I looked at this, they mentioned that, how many believe that we are living in perilous times? It's here right now. We're living in dangerous times. And don't mean to scare you, but things are not going to get better. Things are going to get worse. The good thing is that we know who we are living for. And we're living for a God who controls everything. And as long as we put our hands in his hands, everything is going to be all right. Amen? So we are living in dangerous times. But it mentioned that people can be disobedient to parents and unholy. But I notice here that between unholy and being disobedient to parents, they put the word in there, unthankful. Now, you would say, now, how would you even group that word with unholy and disobedient to parents and boasters and all the other things that come in the list? There's something about being unthankful. There's something about being a person who doesn't appreciate when somebody does something for you. You ever give something to somebody and they don't appreciate what you did? We're living in a world where people are unthankful, and they point that out in Scripture, even in our society. Being unthankful has permeated our society, and sometimes it even has creeped into the church. Turn somebody and say amen. Amen. It even got into the church, and sometimes we have to be reminded on how great our God is. That we are serving a wonderful God, a great God, a mighty God. Sometimes you can get so caught up with the things of life that you forget to be thankful. A simple word, but it means so much. And we're living for a God who wants his children to be thankful. Amen? And so when you think about memorials, what are memorials? Memorials are put in place to remind us of some kind of event or some kind of or person in our lives. A memorial is there to remind you of some things. How many of you have some personal memorials in your life? You have some things in your life that remind you of something else. A memorial is something that is intended to remind people of an event, a day, or a person that has impacted their lives in some way. Now, memorial, they can use certain things to represent a memorial. They can use a statue, a person, or they can use a day. There are many things that can remind us of different events or people. But even the children of Israel, they even had significant days in their lives that will remind them of the goodness of God. They had their Sabbaths, they had their Passover. It reminded them that the God they serve is he's well able. Sometimes we need to be reminded on how good and how great our God is. Amen? Because we can get so caught up, as I mentioned before, what's going on in your life, and you forget to thank God, the one who has provided for you. Has God ever touched you before, answered a prayer in your life, and at that point in time, you thank God for that? You're rejoicing, you're thanking him, and you just say how awesome he is, but then as days go by, you tend to forget how good your God is. Sometimes you need a memorial in your life to remind you of how good God is. Amen? So the children of Israel, they had many of these in their lives. There came a time where they had to cross the Jordan River, and God told them, take 12 men, have them carry stones, and I want them to put those stones in place. Why were those stones there? To remind them of what God has done in their life. Sometimes we need to put some stones in areas in our life to remind us what God has done for us. Pastor Meeks mentioned about that altar. Sometimes when you forget the altar, you forget how good your God is. You forget about the connection that you have once with your God. We need to remember that we're serving a God that is well able, but at the same time, he expects us to be a thankful people. Amen? So we do many things that remind us of God's goodness. When we take our communion, when you take a communion, it's not something that we do in church just to take up time. When you take communion, it's reminding you that Jesus made a sacrifice for you, that he died on the cross and that he shed his blood. It's reminding you of the goodness of God, but also for the love of God. How many, when you take communion, you remember that he did something for you in your life? It's a memorial in your life. Just stick with me. Now, if the person believes that there's a God, you have to acknowledge that there's a God. You can acknowledge him initially, but your walk, your life should be acknowledgement that you're serving a God that's well able. That's a great God. Amen? So it's not just on Sunday that you acknowledge God, but every day that you live should show that you're serving a mighty God. So when somebody looks at you, they will say, there's something different about that person, how they live, how they walk, how they talk. It should be a testament that you're serving a God who is a mighty God. Amen? It should show a life that's thankful to him. So we have to acknowledge God. If a person believes that there's no God,
or that we got here by chance or by luck, he's not going to acknowledge God. But since we believe that there's a God and we're not here by chance or by luck, we praise our creator because we believe that he is there. Amen. We believe that he is our designer. We believe that God is there. We have to be thankful. Amen. The scripture said, or the song that said, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, thank God for saving me. Let me tell you something. Being thankful shouldn't be based on how you're feeling. Because sometimes you don't feel good. Sometimes your week didn't go good, but God is still great. Amen. It shouldn't matter what happened on your job. It shouldn't matter what happened in your family. God is still good. God is still worthy to be praised. And so as a people of God, as you mature, you learn to put things that are aside that are trivial and worship your God because he's always worthy to be praised. God is great and God is greatly to be praised. Amen. Now, I do know, even in this building right now, there are people who are here because they say, I just need to be here. Or I don't want the pastor to say anything about me, or I'm just going to come to church. It's kind of routine. And we thank God that you're here. But sometimes it can be so routine that even when you thank God, you're not really thanking him. You're just, let me just do it because that's the thing to do. But God knows what sincere worship and praise is. Amen. God truly knows if you're thankful or not. And we have so much to give the Lord thanks for. I can ask you, list how many things that you are thankful for. And you can, the list can go on and on and on. We sometimes have to be reminded on how good God is. And when we remember how good God is in our life, all we can do is thank. Nobody has to force you to worship God when you think about what God has done for you. If you got into some kind of accident, or if God has delivered you and he brought you out, you want to throw up your hands and thank God. Nobody needs to tell you that because you remember what God has done for you. What am I saying? Church, we cannot forget what God has done for us in our lives. God has been too good to us. We can't take God's love for granted because God doesn't have to give his love, but he gives his love anyway. And so we as a people of God, we need to thank God and we need to worship him. I wonder if you could raise your hand right now and just begin to thank God. Thank God. Thank him for something. You can find something to thank him for. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. Sometimes we have to be reminded of the blessings of God. And it moves us to be thankful and live a life of gratitude. It's not just a moment of gratitude. It's a life of gratitude. Lord, you've been so good to me. I want to live for you. Mom doesn't have to make me do it. The pastor doesn't have to make me do it. You've just been so good to me that I want to give you thanks. We have to get to that point in our lives if you're not there already. Whether you believe it or not, you have so much to give the Lord thanks for. Sometimes we overlook some of the things that come so naturally to us. Anybody in here, you thank God that you're breathing okay? And then I know you're probably saying, well, Brother Bell, if we're not breathing, we will be dead. I understand that. But some people have difficulty breathing. Aren't you thankful that you're breathing all right? Let me just simplify it. Aren't you thankful that you can walk okay? Some people are limping, and every once in a while, I'm limping. But we thank God that we can walk, that we can talk, that we can enjoy each other, that we can enjoy family, and we have a shelter, and we have job, and if we don't have a job, God makes a way for us. Don't we have so much to give the Lord thanks for? We have a God that will never leave us nor forsake us. It doesn't matter what your situation is. God can work it out. But while he's working it out, still give him thanks. Amen. Amen? Amen. David in the Psalms recognized the goodness of God. He thanked him for his benefit. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. How many of you like benefits? Amen. When you're on your job and they want to give you a pay, we expect more than pay. Anybody love vacation days? Anybody love tuition reimbursement if you're getting that? There are some other perks to the job that you don't mind having. There are some other benefits to living for God. So David recognizes, bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Listen, we're human beings. As we're living for God, anybody want to go to heaven one day? Anybody here expect some blessings right now? I want to go to heaven, but I don't mind having the blessings right now. I don't mind having some nice shoes. If they get messed up, I can shine them up, whatever. I don't mind the blessings right now. And so sometimes you just have to, you have to thank God for what you have, and don't forget that he wants to continue to bless you even before you get to heaven. But you have to have an attitude of thankfulness. When somebody's not thankful, they don't appreciate things, you think they're a little bit rude. They just don't appreciate things. Let the parents, let me get two amens from the parents here. Sometimes you can give some things to your children and you bless them with things, but sometimes you get our children a little bit too much. And then they take it for granted, but that's another topic. So let me move on. Praise God. So David understood, and he concluded that it doesn't matter how you felt or what your situation is. He wanted to draw close to God. He wanted to be a person who was thankful. He was so hungry for God. He said, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsted for the living God. When shall I come and appear before him? David had a relationship with God that was balanced. He wanted the blessings from God, but he also realized that he had to be grateful for what God has given him. Everybody still with me? But we can sometimes take things for granted. We can take for granted, as I mentioned before, the things that come naturally to us. We can also take for granted the presence of the Lord. Somehow we feel that God's presence has to be with us. God has to deliver me. God has to make a way. God does not have to do any of that. It's because of his love and mercy that he extends that privilege to you. Amen? But sometimes we feel the presence of God, and thank God we can feel his presence, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where God is, there is liberty. There is freedom. There is deliverance. God can take your mindset and he can change it if you trust in him, if we depend on his Spirit. But that is a privilege to experience the presence, to have part of the presence of God. The Bible talks about King Saul, how God chose him to be king. He experienced the presence of God, and he experienced the power of God. But there came a time in his life where he took God's love for granted. There came a time in his life that where rebellion was a part of who he is. And when a rebellion became a part of his life, he wasn't as grateful as he used to be. When God first chose him, he was thankful for God choosing him. When you received the Holy Ghost, everybody was excited when you received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When God baptized you, there's something about that excitement at that time. And so King Saul was excited for what God was doing in his life. But there came a time that he ended up being a depressed leader, because he forgot about the things of God. And although he got used to the presence of God, there was a time in his life that he couldn't experience the presence of God anymore. Can you imagine a time in your life where you cannot experience the presence of the Lord? A time in your life where you can't feel the peace of God, where you can't feel the love of God. That's probably the most depressing time of your life if you've ever been there before. So we cannot take the presence of the Lord for granted. We need to be thankful for when we come into the house of the Lord and feel the presence of the Lord. How many is thankful for the presence of the Lord? The Bible said that Samson was a man used mightily by God. He was anointed by God. God used him to win many battles, and his power was activated through his hair. But there came a time through sin that he could not experience the presence of God. What am I saying? You can have something that God gives to you. God can bless you with something, but if you take that thing for granted, if you don't appreciate what God has given to you, God has a way of taking things away from you so you can realize. Sometimes you don't realize how much you needed something until you lose it. Saul lost the presence of God. Samson, at one point, he lost the presence of God. And sometimes we can get so used to something that we forget. Folks, we have to be thankful whenever God touches us in any way. When God blesses us with his presence. Now, I just bear with me. I just want to talk to you. I just want to speak to your heart, because we can get so caught up in just living life. And I think it was mentioned here this morning that we forget to thank the God who made a way for us. And when you get to that point, it seems as if, God, I am not appreciating what you did in our lives. When someone is ungrateful, when somebody is unthankful, even in your own personal life, it rubs you the wrong way. Can I get one amen? Amen? It doesn't feel good, whether it's a child, a friend, or a family member. It doesn't feel good when you invest in somebody's life, when you did so much for somebody and they don't appreciate what you did. God is the same way. God loves you, but God likes to thank you every once in a while. God, when you worship the Lord in spirit and truth, God adores when you worship him, especially when it's coming from a heart of sincerity, because he knows, I bless my child and they acknowledge my blessing. Now I'm going to lift up some praises to him. That means so much to God when we do it. And it means much more when we can do it when we're in the valley. Anybody find it difficult to worship God when you're in the valley? When things are going wrong in your life? Sometimes you find it a little bit difficult. Sometimes we do more complaining than thanking God. Sometimes we do a little bit more complaining than thanking God. The children of Israel, God brought them out of Egypt with his mighty hands. He sent the plagues. The plagues brought them out. He brought them through Egypt, through the Red Sea. But after all of that was done, now many of us would say, now that was me. Now they truly had some issues. But Brother Bell, that was me living in that day. If God would open up that sea, I would live for God forever. You ever heard people say that before? If God sent some plagues into the land and delivered me with his mighty hand, I'm going to serve God forever. I'm going to tell people about God. But it's so easier, sometimes easier to say than to do. God brought his people through. When he brought them through, they were thanking God. They were shouting tambourines. They were even creating songs along the way. They're becoming producers and songwriters. They were just happy what God did for them. But when problems came their way, they forgot to thank God. Now, wasn't it the same God that brought them through the Red Sea? Wasn't it the same God that brought down the plagues to bring them deliverance? Isn't it the same God who opened up a door for you, who gave you a job, who blessed you with children, who did things in your life? Isn't that the same God when you're in your valley? He's the same exact God. So what am I saying? Your circumstance shouldn't determine whether you worship or thank God or not. That shouldn't make the difference. Because if you allow that to make the difference, then you probably won't thank God in a lot of situations. Because sometimes it seems more bad than good in our lives. We need to learn to be thankful. Amen? Can you raise your hand one more time and just begin to thank God? We have to be thankful. We have to be thankful. Sometimes we pray for things in our lives and God answers our prayers. But sometimes we forget how God came through for us. At that point in our life, we were so desperate. Lord, I need you. Lord, if I have to fast. Lord, if I have to pray, whatever it takes, Lord, I'm going to do it because I need you. And even in those situations, and what boggles my mind sometimes, God knows that even after that we're going to be unthankful in some other area. But he still chooses to bless us. He still chooses to open up the door because that's the type of God that we serve. When we don't remember to what God has done in our life, sometimes it affects our faith. When God brings you through something, when God takes you over a hurdle in your life and you get over it, God wants your faith to grow and your trust in him. He wants you to remember what he did for you. Now, if God took me through the lion and the bear, this Goliath shouldn't be a problem at all. God is saying, if I did this for you, be thankful. When things don't go right, be thankful because I am the same God who's going to bring you through. And I don't know what you're going through or what you're experiencing. The same God that blessed you before, the same God that can bless you again. He's the same exact God. He doesn't change. The same yesterday, today, and forever. So sometimes we pray for things and God bless us, and after we get the blessing, sometimes we forget to be thankful. I thought about it, and I'm almost finished here. I thought about years ago, my wife and I, when we first got married, we didn't want to have children right away. You know, we wanted to kind of enjoy ourselves, enjoy church, hang out, do all those things. But there came a time where we wanted to have a child. But things were going by, the years were going by. You know, you get a little concerned. And then, I think it was 6 years or 7 years, 7 years after Pastor Meeks, she got pregnant, which that was a miracle in itself. Talk to my wife later about that. It was a miracle. It really was. Sometimes you're praying for something, you don't know how God is going to come through. And so finally she got pregnant, and we were excited. And of course, Pastor Meeks, I'm, you know, every move she makes, I'm like, whoa, wait, watch it. Be careful. I'm just very, you know, I'm thinking first child, let's just be careful. And I also prayed for a daughter, too, because I wanted a child and I wanted a daughter. I was very specific, Lord. I'd rather have a daughter. Everybody, why are you laughing at me? Yeah, usually the opposite, right? No, I wanted my baby girl. That's my baby girl. So in any case, Pastor Me, now I prayed for this. God gave us a child. I was very thankful. Lord, thank you for your blessings. Then one day, my wife was on her way to church. She felt a little something in her belly. And because I'm overly cautious, I said, let's just go to the doctor. A little routine, no big deal. Let's just go. So we got up. We went to the hospital. And then what they found out, that her pressure was sky high. She didn't know it. The baby was flatlining, which the heartbeat was very, very faint. And so they kept her. So I'm like, right away, he blessed us with a child, but I started to get worried. God, you're not going to give us a child and take the child away. And so they kept her, my wife, in the hospital. And then they kept her overnight, and Pastor Meek, I was a wreck. I must admit, I mean, my faith and everything was gone. The doctors, if they put the mask over her face wrong, I'm like, come on, can you do that better? I mean, can you please? We're trying to have a child here. Come on. I probably was making my wife more nervous. But as I go on, anyway, so they took it. They had to take the baby out, take my daughter out that night. The following night, they had to, it was an emergency. They had to take her out to save her life and to save the life of my wife. And so while they were doing the procedures, and I'm there with the anesthesiologist, and I could see the look on his face. He was so worried. Now I'm thinking, why? You're the anesthesiologist. You should be the last person that's worried. But what I recognize, that her pressure was going higher and higher and higher. And they got nervous, and they wanted to make sure that the surgeon or the person delivering the baby was, they were speeded up a little bit. That's basically what they were saying, just hurry up. So I'm getting nervous. I'm looking at my wife, and I'm also praying. It was difficult because you ever prayed for something, God gives it to you, and it seemed as if it's being taken away from you? Was it a job or relationship, whatever it may be? So I said to myself, oh, my God. So anyway, baby came, but she was 2 months early. 2 months early, I think she weighed 2 pounds or a pound. So at this point, you talk about prayer. You talk about reaching out. I'm like, God, please, just spare my daughter. So we go in around a month or so, going back and forth to the hospital, driving to make sure she's okay. Now, what am I saying? Even during this time, although I was nervous, I had to maintain that God is still on the throne. That God still handles my prayer. And during that time, somebody said to me, they said, Brother Bell, I know you're going through a difficult time and it's hard to give God thanks, but God is not in the business of playing with people's minds and emotions. And that stuck with me. And I said, God, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it. To make a long story short, at 4 months, I brought my daughter home. No, 2 months after. Brought her home. She was 4 pounds. She was so little, I was just scared to, you know, when they're that tiny. I mean, when you're smaller than a bag of sugar or lighter than a bag of sugar, that's tiny. So we carried her home, and we got her home. And long story short, of course, she's 14 years old now. Right? God, thank God. But through that whole process, and maybe you have a different situation, I thought about how I trusted him in the beginning. He blessed me. When things got difficult, my faith dropped a little low, or things changed a little bit. It was hard to give him thanks. Then he brought us up again. She's in the hospital, and we're just hoping that she could eat more and eat more. Then she started to grow and grow and grow. Through the whole process, I thought, it doesn't matter what you're going through or what you experience. Take some time out to be thankful. Take some time out to remember what God has done for you. How God opened up doors. How God blessed you. And if God chooses to take your blessing away, God can have another one coming through the window. That's the type of God that we're serving. Amen? Can you stand with me, please? It's all about being thankful. And when you have an attitude of thankfulness, it will change how you live.
Because as I said before, you're not basing your happiness or giving God thing just on your situation, but you're basing on who he is. And since God never changes, we can worship him all the time. We can be thankful all the time. There's a song that says, thanks, thanks, I give you thanks for all you have done. I am so blessed. My soul is at rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Praise God. Let's be thankful. Let's be thankful.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother Bell. It's a very timely because we could forget. Amen. Being thankful is tied to faith. When we lose faith, we lose the ability to be thankful. And so when you look at the children of Israel, and, you know, they had some failings and their stumblings and things that they... But when it all boiled down, it boiled down to the fact that because they just did not believe. And being thankful helps us to believe for the next miracle, the next answered prayer. Amen. The next bridge that needs to be built. Thankfulness helps us to have faith in the very next thing. It looks back and it recognizes God's power, God's grace, God's mercy. Amen. That God is a faithful God. So if he brought me through last year's trials, he'll bring me through this year's trials. Amen. And so as Brother Bell brought out so wonderfully, us in the beginning of the scripture, stuck in the middle of things that are just horrific, blasphemy and rebellion against parents, and we find that term, and they were unthankful. Amen. And so sometimes the things that we may pass over in our life as trivial can have a big impact upon our life. Amen. And so today it would be good for us just to gather around the front and begin to allow ourselves to reach back and thank God for all the good things that God has done. To look back at the times in which God was there, God brought us through. God sometimes brings us through storms. Sometimes he causes the storms to be averted. But oh, today that we would begin to develop a thankful heart. Thankful for the things that God has done. Thankful for the fact that of his sacrifice. You see, if it wasn't for his sacrifice, it wouldn't make a difference how good we try to be. It wouldn't make a difference how hard we tried. Because only the blood of Jesus Christ can prepare us to be, to deliver us, to cleanse us from our past and our condition of sin. So we have a lot to be thankful for. Could we just gather around the front today and begin to give God those expressions of thanksgiving, those expressions of thanking God for all that he has done. He's been faithful through it all. He will be faithful through it all. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we bless your name and we thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness. We thank you, Lord God, for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for every healing. Thank you, Lord, today, Lord, for meeting every financial need. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us to this place of knowing you. Lord, we praise you, Lord. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for strength. Thank you for peace and joy. Thank you today, dear God, for a place that we have in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Troubles vanish.
1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything, give thanks. And it goes on to say, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we oftentimes, we want to be in the will of God. We want the will of God for our life. But I don't know, Brother Bell, with what you're presenting here today and what I read there in that scripture, we can't be in the will of God and be unthankful. And we may overlook this as a simple thing, but it is a basic thing. It is a necessary thing. In order to be in the will of God, we must be a thankful people. Amen. And so why don't we just lift our hands one more time in this place? And why don't we give thanks to the great God for His great mercy and His great grace? For we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But by His grace we are saved through faith. Not of ourselves, but it is a gift from God. And I'm thankful for the gift of salvation that He has given to me and given to us, His church. And thankful for the many benefits that we experience as being a part of the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And I believe in practical application. And so I encourage you today that before you leave this place, that we not only thank God, but we find somebody in this house today and show them that we're thankful that they're our brother and our sister in the Lord. Amen? And just practice thankfulness. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.